Welcome to Art Watch, an enlightening foray into the lives of working artists. Come on in, step into our studio, and listen to something unique about the artistic development of some of our friends. I'm your host, Elisha. As a multi-instrumentalist, producer, educator, and now author, today's guest has done it all in the music world. Our conversation covers topics of inspiration, collaboration, and work-life balance as I join the artist on location in his home studio ahead of the release of his first book. Please welcome Zach Miller. Zach, yeah. Welcome to Art Watch.
Thank you.
Yeah, tell us about what you do.
Well, I'm a drummer from Minnesota, live in Minneapolis. Currently, been here since I went to school to study music back in the year 2000. And I, like many musicians, have many legs to my stool that holds up my vocation. You know, when your name's on the marquee, that's the one thing you do. When your name isn't on the marquee, you do many different things. But I'm an educator. I teach as adjunct faculty at North Central University. I've been there for almost 20 years. Wow. And I also teach out of my own home, private lessons to other students outside of the college environment, and I perform, travel, tour, compose, record. You know, what is it that we don't do these days as a musician? So yeah, it's a lot of legs of the stool, and there's always one leg broken or hobbled, but I'm hanging in there.
How'd you get your start?
So up in Duluth, Minnesota, where I grew up, my parents were avid musicians. My mom is a pianist. She conducted the choir at our church that we went to when I was a kid. And my dad is a huge folk music fan. So there was always some sort of finger picking or piano plucking going on at the house. And my mom was really involved with my school choir concerts. She would be there playing piano, accompanying us. It was just always a part of the background for me. I'd go to bed and hear my parents singing together, you know, through my bedroom door. That's how it started. And I had a high school teacher that really encouraged me to consider the possibility of building a career in music. And he took time to set aside space to talk about that and say, hey, Zach, I think this is something that you could consider. I don't take this recommendation lightly because there's a bit of risk involved in it, but he really encouraged me to consider it, and I hadn't really even opened my eyes to that possibility. And that kind of started my journey into studying music in college and then kind of blossomed from there with some hard work and just letting all the opportunities percolate over the next 5 to 10 years building a career.
Yeah, building the legs of the stool.
Exactly, right? Yeah, like, and no one leg can get too long, right? Because it topples the rest. This metaphor is deep, I'm telling you. It goes a long way. But, you know, if any one piece of it blows up too big, you have to sacrifice something else that you're doing. And so I've been trying to kind of slowly, like, build up these legs with some evenness, and it's worked out pretty well.
Love the metaphor.
Yeah.
So I know you as a multi-instrumentalist, producer.
Yeah.
What kind of edged you in? What was your first instrument? What was your first introduction?
You know, I started out with piano lessons, and I'm not sure if it was because my parents wanted me to value music or if they wanted me to learn discipline in like a slow burn progression in something. I'm not sure exactly what the motivation was, but it started there, and that's still the instrument that I return to when I'm composing. But I did have a close friend and cousin of mine who actually has worked with me on various music projects, Will Keeler, who is also a drummer, and he's the first person that inspired me to play the instrument. I used to go to his house, to his basement, as a, you know, maybe a 10, 12-year-old, and I'd listen to him play, and I would just laugh out loud for joy and smile, just listening to what he was doing. And I didn't realize that it was just planting seeds of passion, of something that would grow ultimately into a career and a lifelong journey of growth and challenge and opportunity. And so that's kind of, that's how it started.
We have the one leg of the stool, that's the percussion composition side. How did you get started as an educator?
You know, that's a great question. Initially, it started as a convenient way to just have income at the beginning of a music career. I thought that my trajectory, having studied music performance, specifically in college, was going to be in the direction of performing being the largest piece of my vocation. But I did have a graduate student at the University of Minnesota who was moving on and moving out of town, and he offered to me to take over his chunk of students, which was 2 evenings a week at St. Joseph's School of Music in St. Paul. And I accepted that and discovered not only the passion for music and teaching the instrument itself, but also the great and wonderful challenge of building a relationship with so many different kinds of people. You know, you've got the 6-year-old shy kid that walks in the door. You've got the awkward teenager. You've got the adult who kind of comes in the room sheepishly, starting from the beginning and learning an instrument. You have to find a way to bridge the social gaps between all these different kinds of people. And that has ultimately become one of my main passions in teaching, is not just the musical content, but the relational piece and figuring out, okay, how do I create a space for this unique person to feel comfortable one-on-one? Because it's an intense social environment, mm-hmm. right? So finding a way to make that feel comfortable has always been one of my favorite parts of teaching that I didn't realize was going to be a major cornerstone of what I enjoy.
Zach, do you have a project that you would say really defines you as a musician?
I like to think that I've left a piece of myself on everything I've been involved in, from all the albums of many songwriters and bands I've been a part of. But I think that, the thing that expresses who I am musically the most is probably, and many people might say this about their own work, is a solo project that I recorded a while ago in 2018. It's under the name Auburn Heights, and it's my own instrumental album of music. And, I've contributed a lot to other people's music, but it was an interesting process to accept the vulnerability of doing my own thing for the first time, So as I was working on Auburn Heights, I would write these small compositions on the piano and slowly expand it, and didn't really know where these songs would live ultimately, but decided to make a full-length project of it. And I played most of the instruments on it. But it was fascinating when it came time to release it, given that I had done almost all of it myself. There was a great vulnerability to saying, I have no excuse for what this is, right? Like, if this is good to you or not good to you, this is honestly me. It was my first true vulnerability, not hiding behind someone else's name, behind some cool guitar riff that a buddy of mine played that made my drum thing sound better than it is. Like, I had no excuses. I couldn't hide behind it because I made all the decisions for the first time. So for me, that was a big deal. And then to also listen to that project and be okay with what it was. Like, once it was done, I had to step back, listen to this thing that I had created, and realize, okay, this is essentially my voice. And for better or worse, this is what it is. And I think it takes a while, not just creatively, but as a human being, to not only discover who you are, but then the next bigger step is to be okay with who you discovered you were, right? To stop chasing something you think you should be, but to do the thing and recognize this is me, and then put that out there and say, I'm okay with this. Like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm into, and I can't hide behind anything because I made all the calls. So yeah, that project, Auburn Heights, was a big deal for me to kind of put that out there. And I'm really proud of what it sounds like. And I think it kind of captures, for me, the combination of my endeavor to find a musical combination of intellectual curiosity and like emotional gravity. You know, like I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the crooner love ballad, and for like sweeping, beautiful classical music. And I've also had an itch to discover intellectually demanding music in jazz fusion and, progressive jazz and odd meter intellectual approaches to music, and how to combine those two and bridge that gap. I think Auburn Heights really was the first time I found a way to try and float both of those boats at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
You've described something interesting, which is the first album, the flood of emotions that comes with that, self-realization.
Yeah.
How has that album sat with you in the last 5 years?
I still love it. I do. I put it on, and I'm still proud of it. Now, many of my favorite things about the album are the contributions of my friends that brought their musical expertise and their particular thumbprint to it. And so I'm not claiming to think that every single piece of it, I'm not going in listening and saying, my favorite thing is my own drumming. But I love the choices that we landed on together as musicians, and I still am moved by it and the things that drew me to the desire to record these songs, to get some permanence to that art and to record it and document it, they still stand for me.
Yeah, there's something really beautiful about the curation of the studio musicians that you have.
Yes.
And I've witnessed that with you personally. the chemistry that you, Matt Patrick, Aaron Fabrini have in studio at the library is a really incredible thing.
Thank you.
Watching you three get together, get on the same wavelength, and find inspiration in the work that you're playing.
Yeah. Collaboration, it enhances all the things that you're doing if you have an openness to it. And you've discovered that, right? And, you know, I've been in songwriter sessions with songwriters that have very concrete ideas of what they want and don't want, and they insist on it. And that can end up being a great project. The experience is really different, but the process and how it feels to create what it became that day is really different when you have a collaborative approach versus a, like, top-down vision approach. It's really a different experience, and that collaboration is... You and I have been fortunate enough to go through together a couple times. It's a beautiful part of being an artist.
So you talk more about wanting to discover maybe some intellectual, mathematical sides of your work.
Yeah.
How have you brought that into the educational sphere with your new book?
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I think I'm a puzzler. Yeah. You know, in my life, I've always loved word games, and I've always loved sequence challenges, and I think that comes out in my music making and in my drumming and what I explore. And in collecting ideas over all these years of discovering that that's a voice that I have on the instrument, I did create this collection of exercises that I put into a book called Synco that you've been involved in as well. And yeah, Synco is my, you know, drum nerdery, put the glasses on, you know, version of Zach Miller's drumming that is not really intended for, you know, practical application as much as, like, exploring curiosity. You know, I'm trying to sell curiosity on the instrument, essentially. So I have this, I mean, this is the book here. We just got these recently, Synco.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. And I mean, I believe in the content that's in it, but also I just, like, the visual stuff that's been brought to the table by my cousin Will, who I mentioned earlier, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff that he put in here. I mean, look at these pages. I've seen, you know, I probably own 200 drum books, and they're all black ink on white paper, right? So the color of this and just the visual display to me is just has brought a lot to it. But
yeah, to walk our listeners through this,
yeah,
it's an 8.5 by 11 book.
Yeah,
how many exercises do you have?
There are 26 different concepts to practice in here, and all the concepts are partially laid out in the book, but leave room for wonder about where could I take this. That's kind of part of the thing, because I'm, you know, I'm selling ideas, but I'm selling curiosity, you know. For a person to learn how to do what I do is, I mean, maybe has some value to them, but really what would be more valuable in the world of art is for them to then follow this curiosity that they've, you know, had birthed in them through this process and chase that. Like, that's the goal, right?
Yeah. And an exploration of curiosity for you as well. Every single page handwritten.
Yes.
Every single page full of color.
Yeah.
And all original exercises.
Just scaring me. Right? Like, did I spell this right? I mean, oh my gosh, can I read that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. But, you know, these exercises and the process of exploring how to challenge myself with these drumming independence coordination puzzles is a very personal, fulfilling journey. And I wanted the book to feel like that. And I've also always loved the musical handwriting of my friends when they give charts to me. I love that. I have a buddy named Kip Jones. Kip has, when he sends me charts if we're going to learn something, they are beautiful. I mean, they're gorgeous to look at. It's so fascinating. It's all full of his personal stuff, and I really value that, and I wanted to have my own version of that because there's just a personal connection there.
So music has taken you from the stage to the studio to the classroom to the print shop.
Yeah.
Where do you hope to go in the future?
Wow. You know, I think that what would be the next space for me to explore would be to create more of my own compositions that employ some of the ideas in Synco. You know, I've put out there, or I am in the process at least of putting out there videos that will be able to be accessed either on YouTube on my own channel or at Synco Book Duluthminnesota.com, which is what houses the sale of the book. Videos that give instruction about how to play these exercises. But for me, like finding a musical home is the more important level for this. So if I can create songs that utilize these types of patterns and these concepts, I'd be really excited about that. So I think I have a compositional journey ahead of me, but it might be built from the ground up from the drums, which I've never done before. So to start with the drumming being the piece to build a song around is really, it's very counterintuitive to me, but it's exciting to see how can I define what a song is if I start from the voice of drums and cymbals rather than harmony and melody. I'm curious where that'll take me. So an integration of all those things, I think, would be the next step that would excite me and hopefully push me into the next space for application, right? Because the practical side of my content in this book, I mean, that wasn't the goal. It was personal exploration. But now, how do I bring it into something that artistically feels like a fuller expression of that? So how do I house it in a song?
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, thanks. It's going to be a slow burn, but we're going to get there.
Wonderful. So for those of us interested in picking up a copy of Synco, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so syncobook.com is the space that is held for purchase. I'm going to bring it with me to seminars and clinics that I give. I'm hoping to keep moving forward in that part of my teaching career. I'd like to deliver content in group spaces just as much as one-on-one in the future. So I'll be bringing it with me where I go. But syncobook.com is the best place to try and find it.
Where else can we find Zach Miller?
Oh, boy. You know, we're hoping to open this up a little bit. I'm hoping to do some presentations at colleges and universities upcoming, and those will be advertised mostly on my Instagram account, where most people that connect to my music and my creative endeavors find me.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Anything else?
No, I appreciate the chance to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being on ArtWatch.
Of course. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for listening to ArtWatch. If you enjoyed the show, please write a review, leave a tip at leaveatip.org, or if you can, support the production with a monthly donation. Information on this, links to Zach's work, future episodes of this show, as well as the video version of the podcast, can be found at artwatch.us. ArtWatch is made in partnership with the Fribourne County Arts Initiative. Located in the heart of Albert Lea, Minnesota's historic district, the FCAI is the go-to nonprofit for pioneering new shows and artistic concepts. This program was also made possible with generous support from the Minnesota State Arts Board, the Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council, and Fribourne Maurer Cooperative Services. ArtWatch is a production of Inkfish Design Studio. Executive producer, Elisha Marin. You know, I hate to tease you, but I've got to. Sorry. I've got exciting news to share. Really cannot wait. Please stay tuned in so you don't miss it. Thanks again for listening. Till next time. Take care.